I have the great honor and privilege of introducing our guest speaker today. I'm not going to take a long time because we want to give him a lot of time. But Daryl is an East Coast transplant, like literally just flew back in from the East Coast. He is from Rhode Island. So when you think of East Coast, you might think, you know, like, I don't know, New Jersey, New York, but like even further up. So East Coast transplant by way of LA before God got a hold of him. Daryl is probably one of the most inspiring people I've ever met. And I don't say that lightly, like I really do mean that. Daryl is a creative who, in my opinion, but I have the mic so I get to tell you that, exemplifies a message of redemption and creativity in light of sonship. Daryl is a poet, a rapper, a songwriter. He is a preacher. He is loyal. He is kind. And he calls himself son to the Most High God. So would you guys stand real quick and just welcome my friend Daryl to the podium. You stumble. You diesel, boy, we love you. You dreams, boy, we love you. Lost a gunfire. Paranoid clutches, stepping, ducking a gunfire. Like the candle up for the slain. Sophie couldn't see it.
Man, thank you. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. Good morning. I just first want to start and just say, yeah, Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this space. Lord, we just trust that you've already gone before us and you've tilled the ground. And so, Lord, we just pray for hearts to be open and ears to listen. We dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Simpson University, as Melissa said, I literally just got back from the East Coast, which was, you know, well-needed time, spending time with my family and friends. And, you know, it was kind of bittersweet. It was good at the same time. But as I was beginning to prepare for the message this morning, you know, I know that you guys started off and kicked off your semester with the topic of identity and calling. And it's not ironic that, you know, I ended up going back home, right, where for a lot of us, some of our identity was started. And, you know, as I begin to go back to these places, as I begin to, you know, visit family members, you know, go down to old places that I once, you know, traveled down, I noticed that something was different this time. And primarily what was different was just my perspective, the work that I have done with God. A lot of those people, to them, I was almost unrecognizable, not only in the physical aspect, but something spiritually that they just couldn't quite put their finger on. And you know, when it comes to this topic of identity, you know, this was kind of, I'm like, oh yeah, Lord, this is what you're doing. It's a no-brainer. Because this was one of the areas that was so hard for me, where the enemy fought me so much in the area of identity. And so while on this trip, you know, I found myself actually taking back territory in places where I once lost territory. The territory of myself, the territory of who God had formed me to be, who God said I was going to be. I found myself now not in my own strength necessarily, but through a power that was unexplainable. I realized that I was actually confronting the narratives. And we all know when it comes down to the identity, we have two competing narratives, or the tale of the two, as I like to say. What the world says we are, who the world says we are, and what God says we are. And so within this, there was that tension and there was that wrestle of what was old and what was currently present. Jeremiah 1:5, if you could bring that up. Jeremiah 1:5 talks about, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Jeremiah 1:5. This was so important to me because as I begin to, you know, look back and reflect on where I actually came from, you know, I seen that my situation of where I grew up, right, my geographical demographic of where I came from, my neighborhood, my family, these were all truths of who I was. But I realized that there was actually another narrative of who God said I was. As the scripture talks about, he says, I knew you before when you was in your mother's womb. For me, that was something that I just couldn't really quite fathom. I couldn't understand the concept of a God who's, you can't really touch him, you can't see him. But how would he know me before I was in my mother's womb? How would he know, you know, with the situations that I was born in, the neighborhood that I was born in, the difficulties that me and my siblings came up through, how could he possibly know me? And it was through trial and error. It was through years of discovery, years of trying to figure out who I was, listening to the narrative of the world. But today, as I stand here and I talk to you, I can really be, it's really a testament as I look at it that God actually did know me before I was in my mother's womb. Because if I didn't hold on to those promises, if I couldn't hold on to a scripture such as this, I actually wouldn't be standing here in front of you. Because the world labeled me as a drug addict. The world labeled me as an alcoholic, a fornicator, someone who was looking for acceptance, who was willing to do anything, causing harm not only to myself, but others. This is what the labels that the world would then go ahead and place upon me. But how many of us know in the room that there is a God who has a greater story for us? There's a God who says, no, that you're actually called to more and you're actually called to higher. And so in the midst of this, I could actually envision some of the things that God said he promised for me. Instead of me holding on to these narratives and these labels of the things that I once had to overcome, which seemed like tooth and nail, I begin to figure out who I was as a son, in sonship, in an inheritance. When I came across scriptures like, you actually are a son and you belong to a royal priesthood and you wear a ring and a robe, and that you actually have a place at the table, I would begin to envision what that actually looked like. How many of us know we do live in a physical world, but we also live in a spiritual world as well? And so when I begin to envision these things, because I simply just got tired of the narrative, I got tired of people looking at me because of my circumstances. I got tired of, you know, dealing with the enemy's words because I've dealt with a lot of death. I got tired. And instead, there was no other option. There was no other way to look out but to look up. And so a lot of us in this room, we didn't enter into this life in our own will, in our own merit. It was actually a gift that was given to us by the Creator, a gift of life, which in this life would lead us to eternal life. Simpson University, God loves you. God cares about the narrative. God cares about how the world views you. None of us have gotten here on our own. None of us have gotten here through our own will, through our own thoughts or our own emotions. Instead, we were gifted this as a means to acknowledging the Creator by honoring him with the life that we lead as image bearers. He speaks to dead things actually that he wants to put life in. And so in the beginning, he spoke to vegetation. He spoke to light and it became.
When he formed man from the dust and he breathed life into his nostrils, he spoke to himself. Simpson University, your identity is simply in a creator who loves you. It's simply in something that's way beyond what the world says you are. Many of you in this room, you know, you're entertainers, or you're into the medical field, or you're into psychology, you're into sports. I like to tell people, man, those are just like costumes. It's like a Halloween costume to who you really are as a son or a daughter. And when I realized that I had access to a kingdom, I had access to an inheritance, I realized that I needed more of that. If I was going to overcome, that I needed to actually look within at my own story and own it. I needed to actually acknowledge the hurtful things, the pains, the traumas, the things that I've actually walked through, the people who left. If I was going to get access to me and my sonship and getting connected to something that was way beyond me, that I needed to actually look at the hard places. Which leads to my second point, Simpson. There is a very violent pursuit that is coming against the very core of who you are. 1 Peter 5:8. It reads this. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It didn't say that that was God's adversary or that was God's enemy. It said your adversary, your enemy. It says, be sober and alert. Be vigilant. For your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. Simpson University, there is a violent pursuit that is coming against the very will, mind, and emotions of who you are. There is an active enemy that's coming against your very identity of who you were created to be and why you were placed on this earth. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be alert. Why? Because he's coming for your identity. He's coming for your soul. He comes through the spirit of familiarity. He comes through sometimes the spirit of confusion. He comes as the spirit of the accuser who wants to remind you of the things that you've currently probably walked out of, the things that you might be currently struggling in. And for why? Because the scripture shows us that the enemy has already taken his place. He's already confirmed who he is and his identity. Simpson University, I'm here to tell you today that we no longer have to live in the past of what we came from. That we actually have an inheritance to move forward. Those things that once were meant to hold you down were actually supposed to be the catalyst to bridge to the very purpose that's on your life. I call them identity snatchers. Anybody in the room ever lost their ID or perhaps had your ID stolen? I know that happened to me a couple of years ago when I first moved to Redden. Somebody broke into my car. It was kind of dumb. I had my passport in there, but I remember going to apply for a job, and I needed to, you know, get my documents and, you know, get copies made and all of that. And somehow it just slipped my mind, and I left it in the back of my car, but somehow that night, within the midst of everything, my car was broken into and my passport was stolen. And it felt like such a violation. I don't know if you've ever lost your ID or your ID was stolen, but it felt like something or someone out there knew me or had a piece of me that I could no longer get back. And it's almost that in the spirit, when we take on different identities of the world, it's almost like we're losing a piece of ourselves to the very nature of who God has created us to be. We pick up all these different labels, we pick up all these different things that the world has said, and it's almost like it robs us. We live in a spiritual realm as much as we live in a physical. And when we knowingly and unknowingly take on identities of the world, we grieve the very purpose of our existence. Simpson, I say that one more time. When we knowingly and unknowingly take on identities of the world, we grieve the very purpose of our own existence. We were placed on this earth to do more than just be a sports player, to just be a student, than just being a professor. We were placed on this earth to be image bearers to the Creator who offered the gift of life. None of us got here on our own merit. That style, that charisma, the way how you're able to make business deals or talk to people, that wasn't you. That came from the Creator. Just a unique design that was meant to reach a certain demographic or a certain group of people that the next person couldn't. How strategic is that of a God? And today, I just resubmit for your consideration today that you are more than what the world says you are. You are more than what you grew up around or what you came from. Which leads to my third point. Why is this active pursuit? Why is the enemy trying so hard to come against my identity as a person? Why did he try so hard to come against me through active addiction? Well, it's simple. He wants your calling. He wants who you were supposed to be. He wants to deter you from where you are going. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope." How beautiful is that gift? Plans to prosper you. We often don't want to come to God because we look at him as a God who is restrictive, a God who is a God of just rules and regulations. But some of you who are sports players, you guys know that there's rules to the game. We have a God who will love for us to be in our freeness, in our free will. But as any good father, he offers a means of protection. He offers the bounds within the bounds. How good is a gift? But we tend to stay away from God because it's like, nah, I'm not ready. I'll just do me for a little bit. I got time. I can't tell you how many countless young people that I've come across throughout my journey who are no longer living. And although we say rest in peace, I'm probably sure some of them aren't resting in peace. That's the reality. Simpson University, there is a God who is out there that wants to get to know you or reacquainted with his creation, who doesn't want to restrict you. He just wants to love you. He just wants you to stay within the bounds, because he knows if we go out of bounds, it could possibly be game over. We could possibly trip up. We could possibly backslide. We could possibly delay where the places that he wants to take us. He wants you in the perfect way he's intended for you to be. Simpson University, God is a very serious God about the life that he has planned for you. But it's up to us to be able to seek within ourselves, to seek within our stories, to find where the call is. I'm only giving you and offering you a sense of the journey that it took for me to find my call. I actually found my identity in the world before I even found it in the church. Because to me, the church was a bunch of hypocrites. There were a bunch of people who talked the talk, but it really wasn't walking the walk. And for me and the people in the places where I come from, you just all talk. You don't get respect from the community that I came from. And church was just another marker on that list. And so coming to the church, you know, I had my own resentments. I had my own bitterness. I found my voice in the secular space in music in L.A., in the studios, late night, out of bounds, places that I wasn't supposed to be, going up against the grain, causing unnecessary exposure. Simpson University, God doesn't want that for you. You have a beautiful identity that's hidden, but it must be revealed. It must be accessed. And the only way that it's accessed is through surrender. It's through a yes. You can continue on the road, but you're only delaying the progression in the places that you're going. Because I do believe and I do declare that you will get there. But you decide on how long it takes. The Father wants good gifts for his children. And so, that leads to my third and final point. And as I actually close out with a spoken word, I'm just going to leave you a charge this morning. And then we'll get to share some testimony through some original rap music. But I want to challenge you with this, Simpson University, as you reflect. The Spirit of God goes forth within the earth in search of the one who answered the call. Sons and daughters all throughout the nation coming forward from the secret places. Paths of pain, trials of trauma, seasons of self-sufficiency, all perfectly aligned to the pinnacle of your story, of your voice, and culture. Simpson University, you are not the forgotten ones, but instead, you are the chosen ones, burning, burning with the Father's heart. Gen Z, you are the truth bearers, setting fire to the voiceless, redefining broken art. You see, he calls you up and out, leaving behind the past of passivity. He says, come forward, O you sleeping giants. There's no time for meaningless activity. Come out of the shadows of the slander. Come out of the shadows of doubt. O you anointed ones, be the cry that echoes in the city streets to the day that the anointed comes. He calls you, Simpson University, extracting the gold, forging the path, putting the rest to the mask from your past. I challenge you to take his vow. I challenge you to make yourself proud. Because it's here, it's now. It's simply just a surrender. It's simply just a bow. All God's children redefining a worldly identity for a kingdom crown. And as the Spirit overtakes the zealous, it creates a new generational sound. Because the invitation is right here, and the invitation is right now. And so I bless you this morning, Simpson University. I bless you to be unapologetically you. I bless you to be whoever God has called you to be in the way that he only knows and you only know. I bless you to find the boundaries of his love. We can't live in this life lawlessly. because there's an active pursuit who wants to rob you of your God-given identity, who wants to rob you of your purpose. And so this morning, as you reflect, just know I am no different from you. I am no place at a point of arrival. I am simply just a messenger paying it back and paying it forward. He no longer wants you to walk in the things that have binded you, the things that happened to you, the people who rejected you, the places away you came from. And I get everyone in here didn't have a hard life. Some people had it good. But that was even much more of a reason to not need God, of self-sufficiency, of I don't have no worries in the world. I'm just here on scholarship. Nah, there was much more meant for you to do within this earth. And I bless you with that this morning, Simpson University. And I thank you for your time.